Well, Father, I thank you so much for this time together with all these people, our brothers and sisters, Lord. And I ask for your anointing to just be poured out amongst all of us, Lord, and your power too. Lord, I just ask and I pray that a spark of revival flow through this conference call tonight and just revive everybody here, Lord, with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you're working in our lives in a mighty way. Lord, you're cleaning us up. You're getting us on that path of righteousness and sanctification, Lord. You're building up our faith as we renew our minds with the Word of God. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, I'm just expecting mighty things tonight. Expecting mighty testimonies, Lord, because you're the God of all the universe. You created the whole thing, Lord, just for us. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're setting us all up on that road and giving us the wherewithal, the faith. You give us everything that we need, Lord, to walk this walk you've got us on and to get in this race, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that you bless us tonight. And work in us everything that you want us to do tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Man, we lost three of them there. What happened?
I don't know.
I don't either. Anyway, well, who was that? That was Kurt. Anyway, all right. It's been a good day. It's been an awesome day for me. I've been in the Word and got a little I'd like to share tonight, maybe if we get a little time. And but right now, let's go ahead and see if there's anybody that needs prayer or has a prayer request. No, has anybody got a prayer request or do they need prayer?
I would like prayer. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Famika.
How are you all?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, go right ahead.
Yes, I would like prayer. I'm desiring the gift of discerning of spirit. And I've been seeking the Lord for that. This desire, and I just have it in my heart to desire that, to edify other people, and I just desire it.
Well, the Lord says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. You shall have it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Famika to you, Lord, and she wants discerning of spirits. And, Lord, you're in the business of giving out things that people need. And I thank you, Lord, that Famika is going to be honored with the discerning of spirits. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. You believe that, Famika?
Yes, I believe it.
Amen.
It says it's his word. And I believe his word.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, anyone else?
Yes, I would like to be strengthened in my seeking of repentance in certain areas. I'm not pressing in as I thought I should be, and I need to be more diligent. My wife would like discernment of the spirits too.
Okay, did you say you'd like to have more diligence in pressing in to the Lord or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, to the Lord.
Okay. Well, Father, you hear Wade and Jeanette, they want more perseverance in their seeking you, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. We just ask and we pray, Lord, that you give them faith, show them what faith is. That's believing the things that are not as though they were. And
Amen.
We praise you, Father, that Wade and Jeanette is going to have that enduring faith, Lord. Because you said you asking things in my name, you shall have it. And Father, we praise you and thank you that they now have enduring faith. and that's enduring in the, to the end, to find to make sure it happens, until it happens. We thank you, Lord, that faith has been given to Wade and Jeanette, big time, bold faith, that when they declare, they open up their mouth, they speak only as an oracle of you, Lord. They speak only as those things that your word says, not what the world says, but what the word says. The word is the truth, and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Jeanette was asking for discerning of spirits.
Well, Father, we just thank you for discerning the spirits for Jeanette, Lord, and that you would give it to her. And not only that, that you would make her wise and understanding in what that discerning of spirits is, Lord. And we praise you and we glorify you, Lord, that this gift has been given out to Jeanette. Thank you, Lord, that she'll be a prayer warrior for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Hey, Malcolm. Well, praise be to the Lord.
All right.
How you doing, brother?
I'm trying to get to my mute button.
Okay. I know we hide those things at times. All right. Anyone got any testimonies or praise reports they'd like to testify
yes,
about?
I would like to testify to the goodness of Jesus. I'm sorry. I would love to testify that, you know, I used to have even when I first started entering in this conference call, I was speaking for truth, and my mind used to be so cloudy, and the devil could play so many tricks with my mind that I could not focus on the Word of God. I really didn't have the clarity that I desired. And I just began to seek God in prayer. And, you know, I began to call up people that were praying for me. Prayers of deliverance was showing me in the Word how God is true, but I just needed to know it for myself. And I have begun to have visitations from the Lord, either by dream in my prayer time. And I just have just such clarity, just seeking the Lord, and God has begun to show me how to pray His Word. I was praying Psalm 91 and how you can speak back to the enemy in the spirit world. You don't have to accept what the devil is bringing to your mind. You may hear his voice, but you don't have to get in agreement with him. And God has begun to teach me how to war against that kingdom, that I don't have to be defeated, because He give it to His children to walk in authority and in boldness, and how to be. You know, I just thank God, because I really realize how much the Holy Ghost is making me a better wife, a better saint, and it's getting better and better every day. It's almost like, you know, the devil tries to come and say, well, today won't be as good as yesterday. It's going to wear off, but it's not wearing off, and I know it's the glory of God. I just feel in my heart that I'm experiencing renewal in my personal life. Down here in the country of Georgia, it's not because I heard a good sermon, which is not wrong, but I know that God is really dealing with me in my personal time by way of His Word, by way of His Spirit of truth. And I just give a testimony that God is bearing witness that when you cry out for truth, He has answered that prayer. And I'm seeing it every day, just the increase in the thirst, increase in hunger. You know, I was praying that He would take away my desire. I began to see things in my heart like the love. I thought I never had the love of money, because I thought you have to be a greedy person. But God even showed me things like that, began to reveal you love money. You love the things of this world. You don't think you do, because you want to think you're humble. But God was showing me that. So I thank Him, because I began to cry out and say, God, you know, I don't want that in my heart. I want you to change me. And God began to show me then, I'm in agreement with you. If you cry out to me for that, once I reveal something to you, I will begin to do the transforming work. Only the Holy Ghost can change a person. It's not about us having a goodness of our own. On our own, we have no goodness. There's no good thing in the flesh. It's all dependence on Jesus Christ. So I give Jesus Christ all of the praise. I just exalt Him, because I see an exalted Lord that wants to fellowship. And I'm experiencing an increase in intimacy with the Lord. And I just give God all of the glory for Him showing Himself to me to be a loving Father, a God who not only hears your prayer, but He answers the prayers of the righteous. And God, if you're not righteous, He can make you righteous. So there's no losing with God. If you're not where you're supposed to be, he can get you to where you need to be. So I give him the glory because I felt like I was at the bottom of the barrel because the enemy was deceiving my mind. Like, I'm not good enough. You're not this. Blah, blah, blah. But God began to show me you're the perfect candidate for my glory because you are so needy. You need me. So begin to tell me how needy you are. And I told the Lord, I'm so needy. And God was like, I'm in agreement with you. You're a perfect candidate to receive my glory. If you repent and turn to the Lord with your whole heart, God began to show me the areas I show you where you need to repent. Confess your sins. Tell the Lord about it. And God began to show me how to be honest with him. Be honest with myself about my weaknesses. Don't try to tell God what you think he wants to hear. Tell him the truth. God showed me that I could honor a truthful person no matter how bad it seems or sounds. I'm a God who can change a situation, and I give God all the honor and glory and praise. He is so worthy of it. I praise the name of Jesus Christ. He is so real, and he's so worthy of it, and I just can't praise him enough. I'm telling you, I'm like, wow, God, I thank you, and it hasn't taken a long time. It's just been a short couple of weeks, and it's a daily walk, and I'm enjoying the things he's showing me. Even the areas where it once was disappointing, he showed it to me. He showed me how you can get an agreement with my word. You don't have to stay in unforgiveness or failure or fear. You don't have to get an agreement because those are all spirits. They're not from God. They're not of God. God has authority for his children. We are to walk in the believer's authority, and that's what God put in my heart. Know your place in me. It has nothing to do with where you were born, what happened in your family, what race you are, what happened in your generations. You repent for your generations, ask God for forgiveness, but God is like, that is not your family. You are of a royal priesthood. Your family is made up of kings of priests, and you're one of them. You're a king, you're a priest, you're seated with Jesus. And when God began to just put that truth in my heart, it just really has been this, like, has brought so much joy. The revelation of it is like, I give God all the glory, the honor, and the praise. I just praise him. I just thank him. I just praise him. I can't say it enough. It's miraculous to me. I'm like, God, thank you. I mean, I only imagine and dream that God would one day answer my prayer, but it's not an imagining dream anymore. It's like it's really happening. And I praise the Lord Jesus, and I give him all the glory. It's nobody but him. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not that I've had one day that was better than another. I'm not to esteem any day above another because God is God every day. And so that's what the Lord showed me every day. Put aside your love for this world and put me first and stop worrying about loss. Because I used to fear loss, losing people. I used to be so have a man-fearing spirit. I would be so afraid of people. What do they think? What if they think I'm not safe? What if they think this? What do they think then? I would be so afraid. And I told God, that is tormenting me, fearing man. I said, God, help me to stop fearing man. That is not of you. And when I began to tell the Lord, I began to see results. God, when I confessed it to God, and I prayed that God would give me boldness even to give a testimony, I give God all the glory and honor and praise because I sense the Spirit of God just coming to me, even when I'm not praying. I used to think I have to pray real hard and pray real long. I'm not saying that I don't pray, but God was showing me, you don't have to pump and prime me because I'm a God who loves you unconditionally. And if you walk up rightly before me and you be obedient to my word, that I will reward your faithfulness. And that's what I see about the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I'm seeing that God, if you can't be obedient, the Lord can help you in your weakness so you can obey. And so I just praise the name of Jesus. I praise the Holy Ghost for who he is in my life. I just thank God for all of you that are sincerely seeking. And I just say, just keep pressing on, no matter what the devil brings to the forefront of your mind. Just press through his lies, and you'll see waiting on the other side of your faith is the victory that God has for your life. Don't give up because you haven't seen the results as of yet. You will see the glory of God in what you're asking him for according to his will, not your own, his will.
Oh, I wish you'd get excited, Famika. I would that everybody would be as excited as Famika is.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's
real.
Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. It is real.
Amen, girl.
Amen.
You go.
Amen. Glory to God.
I'm telling you. Thank you, Lord. Oh,
thank
my. You
Lord.
Got me fired up. Man, I'm sitting up here on the edge of my chair right now.
Amen.
Glory to
Amen.
God.
We just heard the good news there, buddy.
That's right.
That's awesome. That is a testimony.
Yes, I was Lord.
Blessed with that. Amen.
I was too. That Georgia flower there is coming. She is blooming out, I'm telling you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, you just sound like one of them Georgia Southern Belles there, girl.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name.
Praise the name of the Lord.
His name is awesome. It's good. He's good.
He is
good.
Yes, he is. He is awesome. That's an awesome God we share. Do what?
I think she's melting the snow up here.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Lord. Yeah.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, anybody I have a testimony. Else?
Okay. Go right ahead, Terry.
Did you say Terry?
Yes, did.
Okay. I have a testimony of how God answers prayer and how he really did answer a couple of my prayers. One was I was asking the Lord what the Sabbath meant today, for today, because I knew he had told me that we have a Sabbath today, but I was very confused about what it was. And I really feel that God led me to UBM to answer two of my big questions, and that was, why aren't people healed today? And, you know, what is the Sabbath? And God led me to the UBM site, and I've learned so much, and God has helped me with my faith. My faith has grown tremendously, and he's helped me overcome a lot of fear. And I finally got it about the Sabbath. It took me a long time, but I think I really do know what it means today to rest in him. And I'm so grateful that he led me to UBM, and it's been really encouraging. And, you know, it's been a lot of years, and I'm, you know, it's kind of embarrassing that I haven't, I feel like I should have grown a lot more than what I have, but I have grown, and I am growing in faith that he will help me overcome my sin, and I'm just very grateful.
Amen. Yeah. Well, he's bringing us all along, I guarantee you. He's bringing us along because of one thing. Boy, he's fixing to explode on the earth here shortly.
Yes, and I'm so excited about that.
Yes,
praise God.
Okay, anyone else have a good testimony they'd like to share? You know what a testimony is. It's testifying to the goodness and greatness of God and to the things that he's given us. That's what a testimony is. If you've got a testimony, it really exhorts the brethren and lifts up other people because they realize that God listens to, if he'll listen to them, he'll listen to you. That's what I found out a long time ago. If he'll do things for other people, he'll do it for you.
Can I say something?
Well, sure you can.
I know I said something, but I would love to tell people this because it's so liberating, the spirit of liberty. And last year at this time, I was talking to one of my relatives who was born again. She lives in Alabama. Her best friend passed away on Sunday, but when I talked to her today, we were rejoicing in the things of God. And I was reminded, and the Lord brought to my remembrance that last year this time, January 2014, I was so brokenhearted and discouraged because of things going on in my marriage. I could not, in my mind, I tell you, my heart was so broken. If I would hear songs that sung about brokenness, I would start weeping. I would go to church meetings. I would listen to the worship songs. I would be weeping out of brokenness. It felt like there was no putting me back together because that's how broken my heart was. I could care for my son, but I really could not function to the full capacity with a broken and wounded spirit. It was too heavy to bear. And I'm in awe of Jesus. I'm like, Lord, you really are the glory and the lift up of my head, because in the spirit, my head is so lifted up. I waited on the Lord. I had only hope to see his goodness. I know how broken I was. It felt like I could never be put back together. I felt like Humpty Dumpty. I felt like, you know, like a throwback, like, God, I feel like there's no hope. I had no strength. I was just going seeking his strength. And I can't tell you enough how good and how free and how glorious the God of heaven is. God that created all things, that put into my heart, you know me, I'm your father, you can come to me, and by me coming to him, he's just given me life, and even me speaking now, I know it's the glory of God, because I was so broken, and I just want to speak to anybody, if you're broken, you feel like you've had setbacks, you can't make it. I used to feel like that too. I'm not growing, look at everybody around me, they're growing, they're experiencing God. I felt like, God, have you forsaken me, am I cursed, what's wrong with me? I felt all those things. I could not feel like I got a breakthrough in prayer. That was just a year ago, and now it's like it doesn't matter what anybody is doing, what my husband is doing, whoever is doing, God is beginning to show me, no, it does not matter, because God does not change. His circumstances does not have to change. My circumstances did not change, but God changed me by his word and began to reveal to me circumstances should not move you. The apostles were in prison, Paul and Silas singing in jail, and God was like, if they could sing in jail, you if you have the joy that comes from heaven, not from earth, you can rejoice in the Lord. So I just give God the glory for healing my broken heart, my wounded spirit, and making me a whole woman of God. I just give Jesus all the glory and all the honor, all the praise. And the Holy Ghost, I thank you, Holy Ghost, and I pray for the fire that it will be coming to my life and all of the saints. We can walk as his true sons and daughters of God with full manifestation of Jesus Christ in these last days and declare the truth with boldness, unashamed, because I read the word. God says that they that calleth upon me should not be ashamed. When I read that, it took away my shame. I used to feel ashamed. Just even last week, I felt shame, and I read the word. I said, God, your word says this, and God began to penetrate me. You will not be ashamed. You call upon me, and the truth in your heart, you will not be ashamed. And God took that shame away, and I'm not ashamed of what God gave me to testify that Jesus is real. And I don't care if we can't see him. He is more real than the world we live in. He's more real and more powerful than the devil. That's another thing. I used to be afraid of Satan. And God began to show me I'm so much greater than him. That, you know, you're more than a conqueror, and nothing will separate you. And I begin to walk in that reality. Nothing is going to separate God's children from his love. Nothing. God be like, was putting in my heart, what's going to separate you? Not life, nor death, nor angel, nor anything here, nor anything to come. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. And it's beginning to be simple. Things that I thought were so hard to get a breakthrough, like it was so hard to get God to answer my prayer, and God began to show me it's so simple. It's not hard at all. When God says nothing, don't overthink it. Nothing means nothing. It's not too hard for God. You know, and I don't have to apologize, because God is able to do far and exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. He can do more than what I even imagine. That's what I'm seeing, that he desires to do it. And that has so freed my heart to know that he loves me so much, that he not only wanted to heal my heart, he wanted to anoint me, that he wanted to free me, to give me, to allow me to intercede and be in my role as an intercessor and pray for people and to help them get free of the devil and expose Satan for his lies, that he held me in so much bondage and tormented me, and now I just want to expose him and let everybody see that he's a liar, and God loves you so much, and he will give you more than what you're asking for if you believe him. And that's what he had to show me. I needed to walk in faith, and I didn't feel strong enough, but he began to give me faith when I read his word, when I sleep, wherever God was giving me, feeding me with faith. Now I don't care if the TV is not on. I haven't turned the TV on today. I'm not glorifying being religious. You can watch TV, but I didn't feel compelled to turn it on today. I didn't want to turn it on yesterday. I just want to spend my time with the Lord, singing his praises, being with the Lord, enjoying his presence, enjoying the freedom of basking in his glory and the fact that he's real. And I don't feel lonely. I used to feel so lonely. I lived down in the country in such a small town, but my son, I took him to daycare, and I'm home. My husband goes out and attends some church affairs, whatever he's doing, the Lord be with him. I'm not putting him down, but many times I'm home alone as a housewife, and I feel like, oh, I'm so lonely, Lord. The Lord is like, you're not lonely. That's the Spirit. You have the Holy Ghost. You should not be lonely. The Lord can be with you even in loneliness. And now it's like the day goes by so fast because I'm spending it with Jesus, and I love it, and I just want it to increase, and I want the same for other people. So I will end it there because I can go on and on for all eternity because he is just that good and it's just that real. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. It is real. Jesus is real. Answered prayer is real. The manifestation of his glory is real.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I've been jumping up and down praising God with you, Famika. Glory to God. Get me fired up with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you the truth. Come on now, girl. You Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing and for making all the rest of us, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us, Lord. And that Holy Spirit knows everything that we do. So ain't no use trying to lie to him because he knows it all.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, my.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Famika. That was awesome testimony of God's goodness.
Hallelujah.
God's goodness and his glory upon your life is awesome.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right.
Lord,
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I think we need to, I think it would be awesome to cut those two pieces out that she did and put them together and do them as a post like you've done with Michael Montana's.
I tell you what, it ain't over yet. She may have some more here. We may have a little more to go through. That'd be awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. That's a good testimony. And those are too few in number that we get. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, sometimes.
I have a prayer request.
Yes,
this
go ahead.
Carrie again. I have a prayer request. I want that same excitement that Tamika has.
Okay. Famika, you want to pray for her?
Oh, I would love to pray for her because God sees you. Oh, that's another revelation. I won't go into that, but he sees you as so special. That's what I had to see about God. You are his favorite one because you are the only one like you. And that's what God had to show me. You are my favorite one. Not in the midst of a million billion people. You are my favorite, Famika, because I only have one of you. What is your name?
Terry.
Terry, oh, dear Father, I know how much you love Terry because I have suffered so much abandonment in my natural life that I felt like God did not care. But you show me, Father, how much you really love me. And in spite of my marital problems, I didn't feel loved by my husband, but God has begun to reveal to me it does not matter. His love can fill what no man could fill anyway. And I thank you for Terry, Lord, that you love Terry with perfect love. You love her, Lord. You're so jealous over her. You are so jealous. You don't want any other God before you in her life. Lord God, you want to show Terry your goodness. You want intimacy with her. Lord, I pray that you would, by the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, birth her into a new place of closeness and intimacy with you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray that your joy would overwhelm her life. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that from her belly, she will receive your supernatural joy. Not joy that comes from this world because circumstances change, but joy that comes from heaven, that the joy that comes to the saints because we know you, Lord, and because it's exciting getting to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I take authority over every voice that may speak to her after this phone call, maybe on tomorrow, that will whisper in her ear that it's not happening. I take authority over those lies and that deceiving, lying spirit. In Jesus' name, I cast down your imagination, your thoughts that will try to come to Terry. I intercept them now in Jesus' name. And, Lord God, I pray that you would give her a mighty manifestation of your overwhelming love, Lord God, that she will be able to just cry in your arms because of joy. Let her even have tears of joy. Let those tears of joy flow so she can let go of her burdens and things that have held her back, thoughts that it's too late, she didn't do enough. all that condemnation. It does not come from you, Father. Give us a liberty of being able to lay back and breathe in your presence to finally have every burden lifted and just have the freedom of experiencing your joy. In Jesus' name, I ask you to fill this prayer and manifest it, Lord God, in our life, and I know you desire to do it. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and I just say amen for Terry's victory, and amen to you being willing to do it, and you will do it, because we have asked according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hook up my faith with Famika and Terry, and I thank you, Lord, and I believe everybody else here does too. We hook up our faith with Carrie, and we thank you, Lord, that this is going to happen.
Thank you,
we're going to have a great testimony in the next few days. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for your goodness upon all of us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Ooh, my. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit all over, better than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, glory.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So much victory in him. Wow.
God is, yes, Lord. Praise God.
Yes, Lord. Victory.
Come on with it. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
This is church.
Praise the Lord.
That's what it is. Well, that's one of the prayers I had tonight before I came on, is that the Holy Spirit would just run rampant through this conference call tonight, and it looks like it's been. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Anybody else need prayer or got a testimony? Or just like to share something?
I'd like to share that God is saying to my heart, you're no longer under the law, so you don't have to be condemned. You're so victorious because we're not under the law. We have the spirit of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. And it's like, wow, God is compelling my heart, get a revelation. You're not under the law. I love you so much. It's so much to God. You have the rest of your life to get to know him. What a glorious life. I'll try to end it there.
Amen.
You're not under the law.
I wish you'd get excited. I just wish you'd get excited. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Well, all right. Hey, Marlon and Gano, good to have you back.
Hi, Michael. Gano isn't here tonight. She's staying with my sister because she's having some health problems. So I'm the only one here tonight.
Okay. You got anything you'd like to share with her?
Not right now, probably.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else? I wish we'd all get excited about Jesus. There's a preacher back in Arkansas I know. He always says, I get motivated about Jesus. And I always like that saying. I get motivated about Jesus, too. It looks like Famika motivated about Jesus, too. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else like to share anything?
Hey, Michael, I'll share somebody else's testimony that I talked to this week. Is that all right?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I got contacted from a gentleman that's been listening to UBM about 4 years, and he heard my testimony and related to, you know, part of my testimony, and it emailed me, and I talked to him this week, and it turns out that, you know, he was given a dream by the Lord, and in the dream, he was... he was walking through like a grassy valley, and he saw an older lady in front of him, and he was following this older lady, and he comes up to a fountain, and I think there was two fountains in the dream, but he comes up to a fountain, and this old lady turns her head to him, and her face was all black and withered up and just, you know, just I think you said she had one tooth in her mouth, and you could tell that she was just, you know, it was just, you know, this very old lady. And then he heard a voice in it, you know, speaking to him, and he was told that he was drinking from the wrong fountain. And he saw that he was following this old lady and going to the wrong fountain, and the Lord showed him that he needed to come out of the church, was his interpretation. So he came out of the church, and his wife didn't come out of the church, and he was seeking, and the Lord led him to UBM, and he just started getting the truth in him and getting excited. But like everybody, we're looking for to be used of God, looking for what, you know, we're supposed to be doing in that. And he thought that the Lord was showing him that to go into the prison ministry. So he kept seeking to go into, you know, a prison ministry and go into prisons and just, you know, try to minister to people and share the good news. And he wasn't allowed into any prisons because they asked him where he went to church, and he said, the Lord called me out of the church. I don't go to church. So because he didn't go to church, he couldn't go into the prisons, he couldn't pray for anybody. And eventually the Lord led him to a pastor that did prison ministry, and he had this pastor said that he could go in with him, and he was all excited, and he had to go through clearance checks, and things just kept getting delayed and delayed, and it took forever, and then eventually I think it came through for him. And then the Lord gave him a dream the night before he was supposed to go into the prisons, and he's in this choir in this big church, and he hears the music going on, and he knows the song, and all of a sudden the choir starts singing, but it's not the words to this godly song. It was all worldly words that was coming out. And when he woke up, he knew it was a warning for him not to, you know, go into the prison ministry with this gentleman. And so then after that, he was just, you know, just seeking the Lord as far as what to do. And he didn't have anybody really to fellowship or anything like that. And he was just searching, and he was in the Word. And what happened was is that he lost his job. And he hasn't had a job for about 2 years, but the Lord has been providing for him. I mean, his wife does work, and he's been, you know, getting a few things here and there. But, you know, the Lord took him out of the church, took him out of his job, but he gave him the opportunity to press into his Word. And so that's where he kind of related to me, and I was sharing testimonies with him and that. And then he shared, you know, me this testimony. He said he met some other believers that go into nursing homes, and they go in and pray for the people in nursing homes. He says, you know, I would like to do that. Can I go with you? And they said, yes, you know, you can go with us. And so he goes into the nursing homes with these people, and all they want to do is just, you know, talk about Jesus, but they're really not praying for these people. So he starts praying for these people in the nursing homes, and God starts healing them. And people are coming out of their oppressions. People are being filled with joy. People are, you know, he's just seeing the touch of God. He's going through this nursing home praying for these people, and God is healing these people. And he said that, you know, it was just the move of God. He said it was just, you know, so exciting. And after that, the people that he went in there with didn't want him to come in with them anymore because they didn't understand what he was doing. You know, they that's not what they were all about. And here he was moving in the power of God on the people in that home, and these Christians he went in with didn't want him to be part of, you know, who they were, because they didn't understand what was going on. So he shared that testimony with us, and it's just, you know, it was just another example of the state of the church, that there's other people out there that the Lord has called out and put them into situations to become disciples of the Word and just study the Word and just, you know, just get the truth in them and build their faith to go out and be used of the, you know, be used of the Lord. And, you know, he just went out there with just childlike faith, started praying for people, and the Lord showed up and started healing them. So I just see that as a type and a shadow of what is to come. you know, that we're going to be out in the streets. We're going to be, you know, just being led of the Lord, led of the Spirit, and just, you know, just, you know, just moving with the Lord, just with, the, you know, the power of the Lord. And so his testimony blessed me, so I just wanted to kind of share it with you guys and you know.
Amen. Amen. That's a great testimony. That's generally what happens when power of God follows you in places and the power of God works through you. And if you're with mainline denominational churches, they're going to leave. And they don't want to be a part of it because it scares them. But you know, in the days ahead, just like we talked about last week, in the days ahead, God's going to jar all of that nonsense loose from a lot of those Christians, and they're going to become true Christians with the power of God working behind them or working through them. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I think I may be going to plug in this microphone thing here. I don't know how well I do with just talking in the phone as far as how it sounds, but we just went on a journey. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're plugged in, Michael.
Okay, now you can hear me or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What I wanted to say is we just went over to Spokane and ministered in some situations over there, and the Lord really had that was a special time. But one thing that's really clear in my spirit, I just felt that scripture that in 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, as we are ambassadors for Christ, as God did beseech you by us, be reconciled to God. And really, I really felt in my spirit such a strong clarity about something that God was really, when I was ministering to a couple of situations over there, the Lord really put in my heart that I was coming as an ambassador, and when God's using, when God wants to speak through somebody and God speaks through somebody, with that comes the grace and the divine enablement to walk in the word that he sends, because when God sends a word, it doesn't go void, it accomplishes what it was sent to do. And I really feel, you hit it right on the nose, Mike, when you said earlier on, God's given us everything we need. And that's exactly a very strong thing that I have in my spirit right now. There's a scripture in 2 Peter 1 that says, "As according as his divine power has given unto us everything," or all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it says, according to the power that worketh in us, and it says, "Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might be partaker of the divine nature." I think I missed that. Let me look at this really quick. But it says, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." And then he says, I just have to get this right. "Through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue," that's the part I missed, "and wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And I know right now that there's a call coming to the people of God. And we've talked again and again, all of us have, about getting very honest with God and coming to a place. But the thing that stands out to me, if you look in the first chapter of Judges, when the children of Israel came in finally after they went through Jericho and they took Ai, and after they won a few battles, they began to settle off. And you can look at the tribes of Israel and names them off. It starts going, "Neither did Manasseh, neither did Asher, neither did Naphtali." And they're talking about the tribes that didn't possess their land. And the bottom line is there's a tendency with all of us. You know, we've gotten some victories. We've gotten a place where we've gained some victories in our life. And it comes to a place, and this has happened so much, even people that were fervent in spirit. I've talked to people that 40 years ago were baptized in the Holy Ghost, or 50 years ago. and now they're in their Winnebago and cruising around at the Good Sam Club. And I know in my heart that they never apprehended that for which Jesus Christ apprehended them. And Paul's exhortation when he says, if by any means I might apprehend that for which Jesus Christ apprehended me, and forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And as many of you as are perfect or mature will be thus minded. And what happens with so many of these people is you get to a place, you've had some victories, and then you begin to settle off. And I'm not saying you necessarily, but it's a tendency, because it was with the children of Israel, and these things happened to them and are written for our examples upon whom the end of the earth has come. And these things that happened to them, the same tendency are there when he says, neither murmur ye. That's a temptation for us. Neither commit fornication, neither be idolaters, you know, neither tempt Christ. There's so many things that he said, these things are written for our examples. And what happened to those people is they came to a place where they just were content to coexist or co-inhabit with the enemies of the land. They didn't keep the zeal, because it took a continual living and vital faith to be in that place where by the Holy Ghost we could drive the inhabitants out of our land. And every one of us, our hearts, you know, I look at James 4 when he says in James 4, purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's one of the parts of the land that has to be possessed, is the double-minded heart. To purify your hearts. He says in there, you know, in the 12th chapter of Romans, when it says in there, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's all of these areas in our life that I can say with every one of us that I've never met a person yet that can stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, the prince of this world is cast down and has nothing in me. But I can say with assurance in my spirit that God is going to have a people that can say that before this thing's over, because they're going to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. They're not going to settle off into a place of lukewarmness, or as the Ephesian church, which when you read in the book of Revelation and God's exhortation to the Ephesian church, the list of good things he lists off on that Ephesian church, most people would think that's the hottest church in the world. But he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Repent, therefore, I'm going to remove your candlestick out of its place. And if God has a people who settle off and become content, the Lord is going to, there's going to be a word of rebuke, not a word of encouragement. And I believe right now that God has given us, when he says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's given us everything we need. He's given us power over the devil. He's given us his word to meditate on. He's given us exhortations to put aside the things of this world that pull our hearts away. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? And there's a continual barrage from the enemy against the saints of God from continuing on. But if we'll come into agreement with the Lord God, I know his grace right now is calling a people to separation. And I think the word holiness means separate, set apart. And the word witnesses means martyrs. God's calling a people that are gonna carry that vision of Christ in their hearts to such a degree that they will get really brutally honest with God. And if we're going to side with God, we can't take and assume with our heart that we all have a love of the truth. That's something that we have to pursue the Lord, that we don't have a double-minded heart in any way, shape, or form, but that even Paul the Apostle in the book of the 13th chapter, I think it is, of Hebrews, he says, pray for me, for I trust that I have a conscience willing to live honestly in all things. Paul didn't assume that he had that. He was still pursuing that perfect heart toward God, and I I've said that one of the most hopeful scriptures in the Bible is that God can put a new heart within you, Ezekiel 36:26, and a new spirit. But I believe that with all of us, we've got to guard ourselves that we don't become complacent and settle off and go ahead and co-inhabit with the inhabitants of the land. We've got to, if there's areas that are in our hearts and we know good and well, I mean, there's people that, you know, they just got a little habit here of they're gluttonous, or somebody that's into, you know, they watch things they shouldn't watch, or listen to music they shouldn't listen to, and they know it. Or they're spending their time doing things, video games, or a hundred, there's a thousand little foxes that want to spoil the vine. But every one of us have got to get to a place where we're willing to side with God against our own self-life. That we're saying, Lord God, put the axe to the root of everything in my life that is contrary to the Holy Spirit. Everything that keeps me from fully inhabiting the inheritance of Christ in my life. And if we're going to see the life come forth, it's going to be as it says, that corn of wheat that goes into the ground and dies. That's the only way resurrection life is going to come forth in our lives. But I saw people, on this trip, that many years, and God brought deliverance, or God brought victory, or a word. You know, on this last Sunday, I preached at this meeting where there were a lot of people that I would say are down and outers. You know, people, probably the kind of crowd that William Booth ministered to. But you know, I felt very strongly that word in my spirit. As God did beseech you by us, be reconciled to God. And there was a call of God, and God is not a respecter of persons. That's one of the most hopeful scriptures in the Bible, that God is not a respecter of persons. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, and it shall be given him. The thing of reaching out with our hearts, God will take the smoking flax, and he won't quench it, and the bruised reed, he won't break it. But it demands with all of us that we come on the same terms. We've got nothing apart from what the only difference between the most righteous man in the world and the most wicked one is Jesus Christ. And he's given unto us everything we need. But we have got to side with God about the things that we are co-inhabiting with, that we've got to come to a place where we're not going to co-inhabit with the inhabitants of our land. We're not going to be content to dwell with those little foxes that spoil the vine, with the things that are in our land that keep us from the fullness of Christ in us, because God wants to manifest his glory in a people more than we want to be a part of it. And we just need to come to a place where we cry out to God, Father, deliver me from this area. Because if you look at that scripture that says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we'll come to that place where we'll just say, hey, find a brother or a sister. I encourage the sisters, find a godly sister and just get real. If you've got some things that are strongholds in your life, God's made provision that we don't need to have strongholds. It says that you look in Psalm 1, and it says, what the man that dwells on the word of God, you know, I'm going to share the whole portion to get it in perspective there, but he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. Are we walking in blessing? Are you walking right now in the victory of Christ? Are you walking on the waves? Are you sinking beneath him? Are you in a place where you have that you're the head and not the tail, where there's blessing following your life, where you go through the valley of Raca and turn it into standing water? That's God's promise. In Jeremiah 17, I think it is, he says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, who maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be be like a heath in the desert. He shall inhabit the parched places in a desolate land, in the wilderness, and shall not see when good cometh. You know, that's what it's like to dwell when there's not blessing, and all of us to varying degrees, until we can say with the Lord Jesus Christ, the prince of this world is cast down and has nothing in me. There's still broken down places in our wall where the enemy can come and has access, or where the devil can put his meat hooks into us and draw our flesh aside. But he says, blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. He said, that man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God wants us to live like that. God wants us, I'm not talking about the prosperity preachers that are saying, the false message of prosperity, but a place of blessing. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could say, when somebody said to him, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. He said, foxes have holes, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So what does he mean? Was Jesus in a place he had no place to lay his head, and yet the man could turn 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. He could tell Peter to go down and cast his hook into the sea and pull out of the fish and get tax money to deal with the taxes that he had. He could turn at any time and speak to a storm and command the thing to be still. Peace be still. And there was a great calm. The man had absolute unlimited anointing. And yet he could say, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But he had everything. One brother said, when he heard that scripture that says, there's no man who has left houses, mothers, brethren, lands for my name's sake, that shall not receive 100-fold more in this present time, and life everlasting. And the brother said, the only catch is your name's not on the title. I mean, if Brother Michael comes over here, he has a house in Montana. And we have, but it's not an issue of us owning and possessing like this world wants to. But he Paul says, you have all things. And in Christ we have all things. And there's a place of favor and blessing that God wants his people to come into. But we have to be freed from all the curses, all the open doors, all the places where the enemy has access in our life, every stronghold. God wants us to be in a place where there's no more other enemies inhabiting our land. They've been dispossessed, every one of them, and we have our full inheritance in Jesus Christ. We have such promises, exceeding great and precious promises. When Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, for I go to my Father. When we have in there the promises that the Lord Jesus has given us, he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We're supposed to be whole, body, soul, and spirit, free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And brothers and sisters, we can't say, well, that's just lovely. We've got to be in a place where we will not rest content until we see the fullness of Christ manifest in our own experiences. We will not dwell with this enemy. When we see an enemy in our land, when Joshua looked up and he sees, it says, when he drew nigh Jericho, there stood a man against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And he went up to him and said, you for us or for our adversaries? And he says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord's army am I come. And Joshua fell with his face to the ground and said, what saith my Lord to his servant? He says, loose thy sandals from off thy feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy. But he wasn't afraid. He was the captain of the Lord's host. He walked up there, and if the guy had said, for the adversary, he'd have cut his head off. That man was full of the faith of Christ. And that man was, and we need to be the same way. When something's standing there with a sword drawn in its hand, we better find out right now if it's for us or against us. And when we have enemies in our land, and we recognize those things that are trying to keep us from our full inheritance, and we see places where there are strongholds in our life, brother, don't rest another day. Come to a place where in your heart you're willing to come and confess your faults to a brother, and you'll seek deliverance in that area. and God will bring you to a place where you can do deliverance on yourself. But if you'll repent, come clean, get honest, come into the light, and I tell you it's a hard thing sometimes to come into the light because we got things that would make us ashamed and we don't want anybody to know that we got these issues in our heart. Brother, it don't matter what the issues are, brothers. The victory that God wants to bring us into, the completeness of Christ, the fullness of his blessing, God wants us to walk free. God wants us to walk anointed. God wants to send us and commission us. But I'll tell you what, we've got to come into agreement with Christ. We've got to come fully in the light with Jesus Christ. We've got to side with him against our own flesh, against our own nature. And when we can come to a place where we don't say a lovely theological position that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. It's not just a theology. It's a walk. And there's a place where we can walk with Christ in victory. And Paul, as Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't ever be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I believe that right now there's a grace that's revealed. The Lord Jesus is calling a people to wholeness. He's calling a people to fullness. He's calling a people to full anointing. He's calling a people to be separate in this hour and to be a people that are going to bear the anointing of God like the early church never did. Are you such a one? Are you such a one that's willing to come into his light in fullness and allow and go past the shame of your sin to the place of victory where that thing has no more place in you? I believe that God's going to have it. I can tell you. I can tell you by the word of the Lord. I can tell you, thus saith the Lord. God's going to have a people that can say the same words the Lord Jesus said. The prince of this world is cast down, has nothing in me. But brothers and sisters, there's a battle between here and there, and that battle is, first of all, to have no double heart in any of these things, to purify your hearts, be double-minded, be afflicted, mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy into heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We can't be adulterers and adulterous. Friendship with the world, friendship with God. Whatever it is, brothers, that keeps us from the anointing, that keeps us from the fullness, that is co-inhabiting in our own land. Take the sword to that thing. Come into agreement if you need, like, I like that. It said Judas said to Simeon, his brother, come with me into my lot and help me dispossess the Canaanites, and I'll go with you in your lot. If it takes another brother to help you, do it, brothers and sisters. Confess your faults one to another. Get an honest brother, an honest sister that has some depth and some anointing in their life and say, brother, come in with me in my lot. Let's deal with these Canaanites, and I'll come with you in your lot. And we need to fight with each other's battles right now, and we need absolute honesty and an absolute willingness of heart to come into the light so that we can be that people, because God's going to have a people that fully possess their land, fully possess their inheritance, that are fully dead to themselves so the resurrection life of Jesus Christ can be manifest in us, and that so you can say with Paul, and that we can say at the end of this thing, my departure is now at hand. I'm ready to be offered, for I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not only me, but all that love his appearing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We need to possess that land, y'all. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Thank you, Michael. That was good. We all need that. Y'all don't hear that chair squeaking? It ain't squeaking. All right. Anyone got anything they'd like to share? You know, talking about that land, we have to take it. You have to take it by force. You know, we don't always receive an instant miracle or an instant healing, an instant deliverance, or even an instant provision. We are called to fight the battle with the forces of darkness. They are trying to take us out of the benefits of Christ. That's our trial. We've got to decide if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to walk as a son of God. We got to decide to walk and fight that battle as a son of God would fight. That's why God has put us here. That's why he's put us in this training. That's why we go through this wilderness experience. And so that we can prove to be the people who walk by faith. He said the righteous live from faith. That's what the Bible says. That's God's condition for all of his benefits in the kingdom. He says, he tells us we got to fight that good battle, doesn't he? Matthew 11 and 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the men of violence take it by force. You can't just sit around and wait on God to bring everything to you. We've been given authority to fight the battle that he's put us in. Lord told the Israelites, you take up your sword and go out there in that land. You take that land, and I'll be with you. He told us that. Michael was talking about a while ago. Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for if ye live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, we who have faith, we're endued with power by God's Spirit to go ahead and fight this battle. Faith is what brings that power on. We got to take up that sword, and we got to conquer that enemy out there. And what's that sword? That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. Our sword comes out of our mouth. That's our tongue against our enemies. We confess him before men. We confess his word concerning the promises and the benefits that he's given us in Christ Jesus. You know, we have to fight for what's been given us in Christ Jesus. If we don't fight, you ain't going to get it. A lot of people are just too lazy. They want to be fed like a baby all their life. But the truth is, as we grow up, God expects us to get into that battle and to fight it, just as when he sent those Israelites out there to put to death that old man that lived in the land and to take that property. What'd they do? They killed everybody, that old man. And he's telling us to do the same thing that with this land that we live in. That's the land he's talking about, the flesh. We do to take over that property by the sword of the Spirit and slice and dice it until there ain't nothing left. And it's a violent warfare in the spiritual realm. He said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and that violent men take it by force. And we're not taking it away from God. He's given it to us, but he told us to take up our sword and to fight that battle, and he'll be with us. He's going to back us up. He's going to do exactly what the word says. And you know, God justifies us when we fight those battles too. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. You know, we see judgment all around us, don't we? We're learning to fight the curse that comes against us and to come out from under that curse. And the way we do that is holding fast to God's word. That's the Bible. He said, let God be found true, but every man a liar. And if a thought that's not according to God's word comes into your mind, we got to cast it down in order to fight that battle. And we do that. When we do that, we're found qualified to receive the benefits and the blessings of the kingdom. And he said, that you might prevail when you come into judgment. Listen, we're constantly coming into judgment because of our sins and because of our accident. And we're rightly under the curse of judgment, but that curse had been taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ, hadn't it? Jesus bore our curse, and we accept that free gift from him. That's one of the benefits we got to agree with in order to come out from under the curse. But you know, we're justified as we fight this battle. How? By faith. We're accounted righteous because we fight this battle by faith. And if you don't fight that battle by faith, you're not entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. And that's what God says. He said the righteous shall live by faith and acting on that faith too. Jesus laid down faith as a condition for receiving the benefits, and we got to do it too. Romans 4 and 16 says, for this cause it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. How come the promises have to be of faith? So it will be by grace. It's because we're trained to save ourselves by our own works. As we come up, you know, my dad always told me, he said, pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. Boy, you got to make it yourself. Ain't nobody going to help you. But that's not true in the Christian world. The Lord wants us to deny ourselves. He wants us to kill that flesh. He wants us to slice and dice that flesh until there ain't no flesh left on it. He expects us to take up our cross and follow him and accept his works. And as we do that, the salvation comes by grace, unmerited, unearned, and it ain't nothing that man can do. And that's the only way God's going to accept it. That's why it's got to be by faith. That's why God demands that the righteous live from faith. Romans 4 and 16 again. For this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And the only way to prove that Abraham is our father is walk right in his steps, right? Then if we don't walk in his steps, he's not our father. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee before him whom he believed, even God who giveth life to the dead and calleth the things that are not as though they were. And that's something the world can't do. And that's another sign of what faith really is. It's calling the things that are not as though they were. And we can do that because it was given to us at the cross, and we were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 18, who in hope believed against hope to the end that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall thy seed be. In many cases, when we believe for the benefits of God, we're having to believe in hope against any hope that we can see with our eyes. In other words, we have no hope of help from the world or help of from man. Instead, we got to believe in God's promises, and we call those things that are not as though they were, don't we? Romans 4 and 19, without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he answered not through unbelief. And this is what we struggle with, folks, the demons of unbelief and depression and despair concerning not having the things that the Lord has promised. These demons war against us with this evil heart of unbelief, didn't he? Hebrews 3 and 12, take heed, brethren, lest happily there should be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Unbelief is one of those things that's going to cause someone to be in the lake of fire. You hear me? Unbelief is one of those things that's going to cause somebody to be in the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and 8, but for the fearful and unbelieving, and abominable, and murderers, and fornicators, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God considers unbelief as evil in his sight. Abraham had plenty of reason to waver because it was not a possibility for them to bring forth the seed that brought forth the nation. But he says, looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief. And that's what our fight is. Our fight is to hold fast to the word. And we're justified when we do that. We're justified when we let God be true and every man a liar. Somebody says you're sick and you got this or you got that. He said, no, I ain't. I'm a child of God and I'm not under the curse. Bless God. I don't have none of that. Romans 4 and 20. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. We glorify God by holding fast to his word and being a witness to the people around us as believers. Verse 21, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sake also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me read this again. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. And chapter 5 and verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified through our faith in God's promises and not what we see with our natural eyes. So those people that you've been praying for out there, those sons and those daughters that you've been praying for out there, what you need to do is look unto the promise of God and don't be wavering through unbelief, but wax strong through faith, giving the glory to God, thanking God for their salvation, thanking God for your healing, thanking God for all those other things that you've asked God for. And being therefore justified, you're justified by faith because you're believing in it. You're resting in God's glory. You're resting in his promise. You're resting in his promises to you that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in the knowledge that God's in control, and what we've prayed he's going to bring to pass. All we have to do is just thank him for it and keep on believing. Endure into your faith unto the end. These grandchildren you've been praying for, these children you've been praying for, these husbands or these wives that you've been praying for, pray for them. And then start thanking God for them because the promises of God are true. And amen. You start thanking God for those prayers that you've already prayed and quit praying the same prayer over and over and over again because he's already heard it. The Holy Spirit's throughout this whole world. He knows everything about you and everything about each one of us. So there ain't nothing that you can do or say that's going to get him to act any quicker. He's a trial of your faith. You just act and you believe and you stand on it. And that's what faith is. You're justified through our faith in God's promises and not what you see. And it's our faith that Christ is the one who lives in us now and that he has healed us. He's delivered us. He's provided for us. And he's going to supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory. And Psalms 91 kicks in too. The only way that you can receive Psalms 91 is by faith. You believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Like David shared the other night, Sandy had the dream about the angels covering those three people down in the valley there, protecting them from what? I don't know. But whatever it was, God was protecting them with those angels covering them. Might have been from what they've been, these chemtrails and stuff, don't know. Whatever it was, God was protecting them because they had faith to believe that God would do it. And that's what it says. We're justified through our faith in God's promises. God's 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for us. For my power is made perfect in weakness. What's the weakness? Well, we can't do nothing about it anyway, so we might as well let God do it. Back up, kick back, and thank God for it, because that's what's going to happen when you do that. God's power is made strong through your weakness. When you're sitting around struggling, God's just kicking back. He said, I ain't going to do nothing until that boy quits trying to make come to pass what I've already told him I was going to do for it. So we don't need to struggle and think that we can do it ourselves when God can do it so much better and so much quicker. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's talking about, man, if when I'm in them weak positions, when I'm in a boat wreck or when I'm being stoned, God's there. He shows himself strong in me, glory to God. And he's going to do the same thing. He's no respecter, just like Michael was talking about. He is no respecter of persons. The power of God is available to all of his believers. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 says, All authority has been given us over all the power of the enemy. And authority is the right to use power, the right to use Jesus Christ as our power. He's going to back up what he says he's going to back up, what he's going to do. We ain't got no way to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ here, but we do it against all the odds that we see around us. We hold fast to the word, right? And we're justified because of that. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And the only way that we can get that access to, into the grace to bring forth the promises is by our faith. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How do you get more faith? Where does faith come from? Well, it comes through prayer. We can pray and ask God to give us more faith, and he's going to do it. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. We prayed for people to have certain things, discernment and wisdom and all of that stuff. Well, all you have to do is believe after we pray, and you're going to get it. I'm telling you, you're going to get it. And we need to be diligent about praying for all those things that you need. But you need to be praying a prayer of faith. And we need his faith to do that, right? And he gives you the faith that you need to believe. Romans 10:16 says, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings or the good news, which is that God provided every need of ours in Christ Jesus. But they did not all hearken. And that word hearken means to hear, to obey, or to act upon, to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah asked that about God's people, and it's true today. Who hath believed our report? There's a very small percentage of Christianity today that's got any interest in walking by faith for the things they don't see. Most of God's people, they live in the flesh. They live according to what's in their mind. They don't live by faith other than believing that they're saved because they have accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. They don't know what saved is. We've discovered that saved, if you've been reading some of these studies, what I'm doing right now is coming out of real good news. We discovered that saved is very, very big. That Greek word for save is sozo, and that means every need of ours taken care of, just like a little baby. I'm telling you, the demons around us are attempting to discourage us, so we're just going to give up and not hold fast to the word until we see it come to pass. But we need to be just the opposite of that. We need to hold fast to the word and believe what God told us and endure to the end to see that promise come to pass. God's word in our hearts is powerful to give us that faith. If you want faith, if it's something that you really, truly, and honestly desire after, put that word of God in your heart. Find those promises in the word of God concerning those things that you need and begin to stand on them. Now, I guarantee you, you'll put Satan on the run. You begin to speak that word in the spirit and the words of God's promises, you're going to conquer that enemy. That's that battle that we're all called to fight. God wants us to do this because he wants us to manifest the same sonship that Jesus had when he was here on this earth. Michael was talking about a while ago. The things that you've seen Jesus do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe in the days ahead we're going to see miracles like we've never seen before. God's going to show himself strong in each one of us. All we have to do is just believe what the word says. And the only way to have more faith is to ask God for it and renew your mind with the word of God. When you renew your mind with the word of God, man, that faith just builds up. You pray in the spirit, that builds your faith up. You pray, that builds your faith up. And when you hear these testimonies, that builds your faith up. And before long, you know it, you're going to be standing out there declaring the works of God. People are going to be looking at you and marveling and say, man, that guy's got some power of God all over him. Well, yeah, if you're a child of God, you should. The things that are coming to pass should have already been going on all these many 2,000 years since Christ left us. Should have been. But man interfered. But man didn't want to take that walk that Jesus had left for us. But now he's doing it. People are wanting to know what, just like Famika was talking about a while ago, the fullness of God is coming in. I can tell it, man. Power of God's coming in. And others here, it's the same thing is going to happen. You're going to be walking, talking people of God. With the power of God and the signs and the wonders falling right behind you. And that's not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is people to come into the kingdom because of it. Revival. That revival is fixing to come, and people are going to get saved because of those signs and wonders and the power of God that's on God's people. Then listen, the apostate church is not going to get jealous of you because you don't have power. They're going to get jealous because you do have power and they don't. So I just exhort you to get in the Word of God and start declaring those promises as though they were yours, and they are, by the Word. Amen? I'm going to stop and let somebody else talk a while.
Oh, I had to go on mute. I don't know if I have to mute my praises. I don't want to disturb you, but hallelujah. Oh, it's so good. Oh, God, it's so good. Oh, Richard, could you keep talking? Oh, hallelujah, it's so good. Oh, you could keep talking. Oh, the Word is so alive. It's like, oh, God. Oh, so God, it's so abundant. I'm like, can I let you keep talking? Oh, God.
Well,
so
praise the Lord.
Good.
Glory be to God.
Yes,
thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, it's so
to
true.
The Lord.
Everything you said is so true. It's so true. Half Christians don't even know what it means to be saved.
Mm-mm.
So true.
Praise God. The truth is coming out now. The truth has been coming out.
The church is coming. The true church is coming out. Yes. The true church is coming out.
And some will accept and some won't. But we're going to see God do a miracle in most people's life when the shaking starts. Because when the shaking starts, it's going to shake the world out from under. And when that world gets shaken out from under, they're going to turn to God. They're going to say, man, what they've been telling me is wrong. I need to know something here.
Hallelujah.
This guy, my brother over here, he's living by faith. He's got a smile on his face and a bounce in his walk, and I'm sitting over here drugging along. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no money. The government done took all my money, done took my groceries. I ain't got nothing to do. And this man sitting over there smiling and grinning at me. He got something. I got to go find out what it is, and then you're going to be able to open up your mind. You're going to say, I'm going to tell you what I got. I got Jesus. You know what Jesus is? Well, yeah, I know who Jesus is. No, you don't know Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And that's what's going to happen. The light's going to come out. And we're going to be able to explain what faith is. It's calling those things that are not as though they were. Speaking like Jesus spoke. At the beginning of time, when he spoke the world into existence, he spoke everything. He spoke you into existence, glory to God. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be in that same. He gave us the same power and the blessings. He gave it all to his people. We just hadn't been able to take it up and go with it and run with it. But we're going to. I know we are. God said it in his word. This man child's coming on the scene. He's going to spread light like had never been spread before. Since Jesus. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome time with the Lord. Because the truth is going to be spoken once again. It's always been there. It's always been there. People have misconstrued the word of God to tickle their own fleshly, worldly ears. And a lot of people want to draw people back into the law. We got freedom in Christ, glory to God. God came to set us free, not to put us under a bunch of man-made laws, glory to God. He came to set us free. And when you realize that, you're going to be jumping and hollering, praising God, just like Famika's been doing tonight, praise God. I'm telling you. It's going to happen. I'll be glad. I tell you what, I could see us jumping around in fellowship now, just hugging one another and glorying God and praising God and just shouting hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the way it ought to be. It ought to be exciting for everybody to pick up that word, because you know when you pick that up, God's going to give you some hidden manna there. That revelation of the word is going to blast forth like a neon sign. You're going to grab it and you're going to run with it. You're going to show your husband or your wife. You say, look here what God showed me. Look here what God showed me. We can do this. We can do that. We can do. And you're going to just be growing so quick. But people believe, new believers that get a hold of this word are going to grow up so fast, we're going to be amazed. We're already seeing it right here. Young men coming in, young women coming in, grasping the truths of the gospel. And they're just soaking it up like a sponge. And they're growing up fast, you know, where it's taking us 40 years. Some of us 20 and 40 years to get this word right. Not taking them, but just a few weeks. That's God. That's what that is. That's God. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Yes.
About the scripture. You were reading Revelations. You were speaking of unbelief. And
you were reading what? Revelation what?
When you were reading out of the book of Revelation, all the people.
Revelation.
That will not inherit eternal life, and you mentioned the unbelief.
Yep.
And I think you mentioned the scripture in Hebrews, how you didn't say it in depth, but the children of Israel, they did not enter in because of unbelief to the rest that God promised the children of Israel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they didn't go into the land of promise because of their unbelief.
Because of evil, and the God called it an evil heart. Then you gave us a warning against an evil heart of unbelief. That's what the Bible talks about, an evil heart of unbelief. So my question,
right.
Yeah, I was wondering when you said that, the scripture came to me about Matthew 6:22-23, when it talks about that if your heart is like dark, how great is that darkness? When it speaks of that, it says that the eye is the lamp of the body, but if your eyes, and this is not King James, I'm on my computer. This doesn't read like the King James, but it's like, I'm sorry. Basically, I was going to ask you, is this scripture talking about that same darkness, that evil heart of unbelief? When you said that, I could see how unbelief is an evil heart. The Bible even calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Like it's evil. Not believe God.
Absolutely.
That's how it's able. Is the Bible calls it an evil heart of unbelief, meaning that you don't believe because your heart is evil. That is such a revelation to me. Like all the times I didn't believe God, I didn't have the faith, you know, I just thank God. It's like, Lord, that was just, even you hearing you say that, it was like, wow, such revelation. Like, I don't want an evil heart that doesn't believe God. I want a tender heart that believes the Lord. And I don't know, that scripture came to me from Matthew 6:22-23, that if your eye basically is, if your eye is darkened, your whole body will basically be full of darkness, and if your eyes like have light, your whole body will be full of light. And I believe that scripture came to me because I never understood what Matthew 6:22-23 was saying. But when you talked about an evil heart of unbelief, that's the scripture that came to me. I believe that gave me revelation on this Matthew scripture. That means if your eye, what you look upon with your spiritual eye, if you have an evil eye, that means your heart doesn't believe God, then your whole body is going to be full of darkness. That is literal. If you don't believe God, that darkness God is talking about is full of, it won't be full of His Spirit. It'll be full of another spirit, which is darkness. But when you believe God, and your eye is good, meaning you set your spiritual eye upon the things of God and you believe God, your whole body will be full of light, literally full of the Spirit of God, which is light. I hope I'm not way out there by myself, but that's what came to me.
No. Hey, what it says in verse 22 in ASV, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, get that single, it's focused on Jesus only, thy whole body shall be full of light. What is Jesus? He's light. He's full of light. So if your eye is on Jesus, you're going to be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore, the light is in thee be darkness. How great is the darkness? And he goes on the next verse. This tells you, this gives you the hint. No man can serve two masters. If you've got a foot in the world and a foot, and think you've got a foot in the kingdom, that's darkness. He's going to thump you off into the world. You're not going to be coming into the kingdom with one. If you've been in the Word and you understand the Word, and you're still in the world, don't believe that God's going to bring you in. If thine eye be evil, you're depending on the world to save you for your salvation, for whether it be for healing or whatever. Provisions, whatever. In the days to come, you better have your eyes singly on Jesus, because if you don't have it on Jesus, you ain't going to make it. The world will suck you up. You'll take the mark of the beast, and you'll be sitting right up there in line to take it so you can get something to eat, because you don't believe what the Word of God said. That's darkness. That'll send you to hell. That's an evil heart of unbelief. That's what Famica was talking about, the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness out there, and they kept murmuring against God. You know, when Joshua and the 10 other, Joshua and Caleb went out with the other 10 spies, and the Lord had already told them, said, you go on out there and take that land, man, I'll be right there with you. And then 10 of them came back and said, man, said, yeah, said, them grapes is big. Said, them pumpkins is big. Them watermelons is big. And everything is big in that land. But, boy, them people's big, too. There ain't no way we can fight that bunch and win. And what Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, that's a land of milk and honey. And we can take it because God. And that's the way we got to be. We got to speak it. Believe it and walk it and act on it. That's an evil heart of unbelief. It's when you don't believe what the Word of God says. When you got your eyes on the world and you got your eyes on the flesh, it's going to be hard to make it in the days ahead. It's going to be impossible to make it. And that's why he's shaking this world. He's going to shake that world loose from the worldly Christian. That's why this is coming on us. It's God's grace upon us to do that. If he didn't, how many people would be sent to hell because of it? Woo, my goodness. But you know, God's going to bring the shaking on, and we're going to have the greatest influx into the kingdom since time began. It's going to be awesome, and we got to be ready for it. You got to believe this word for what it says, instead of what you think, what some preacher told you it said. You better get in the word yourself and see what it says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. How can the Lord trust us with that kind of responsibility? Because we're going to make our will his will, right? We're going to receive that renewed mind of the Spirit. That's when we become stable in Christ. We believe, we rest in God. That's our Sabbath right there, as Terry was talking about earlier. That's our Sabbath. We rest in the knowledge that God's in control. Everything that he does, he controls it, and he's already ordained it to happen. And all we have to do is kick back and believe what he says is true. I mean, if bad stuff is happening to you and you've prayed, just keep on hanging in there, because you're going to come through it on the other side, and you're going to have a testimony. My goodness. Woo, glory to God. That's what's going to happen.
Amen.
As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. That's the ones that the disciples and Jesus was talking about. That's the one that was at the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Oh, glory to God. My goodness. And when you abide in the Son, guess what? You get to walk just like him. When he went out there and he cast all those demons out of that man, that 12 legions of demons, and sent them out into them hogs. Set that man free, and he went on to evangelize that country he was in. That's the way it's going to happen, folks. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to add to what Michael has said, or myself, or Famica, or Tim, or anybody? I said tonight.
I don't want to add, oh, I know I just thought that. I don't want to add to what the other Michael said. I just want to bring out something he said that was very edifying. That stays with me even now. The fact that he brought up having a double mind, or basically a divided heart, that was truth, that what he was speaking was something to really ponder in our heart and seek the Lord on, so that we don't have a double mind or a divided heart.
Amen. It ain't going to work in the days ahead. A double-minded heart or a double-minded mind ain't going to work. We got to be solid in our faith, don't we?
Amen.
We have to have so much word in us. Michael's talked about this many times. We have to have so much word in us that we don't believe nothing but the word. Just like he was talking about Smith Wigglesworth last week. Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't let anything in his library but the Bible. That's all, the spoken word, the written word. That's all he wanted to hear, and that's all he wanted to read. And what happened? He had a miraculous ministry. John G. Lake, same thing. They asked him, said, what's the secret to your ministry? He said, it's no secret. He said, speaking in tongues, long and hard. He said, I speak in tongues a lot because that edifies me and it builds faith up in me to believe what the Word of God says. And that's what we all ought to do. Speak in tongues, renew our mind with the Word of God, transforming our mind to be like Jesus. And to be like Jesus, you have to know what Jesus did. So we have to get in the Word and let the Word work in us all the time. You know, as most of you know, I stay here with David. We both live in the same house. And he's in the Word constantly. He's in the Word constantly. I'm just amazed. I mean, it's just almost every waking hour is in the Word, unless we're out doing things that we have to get done, you know, in town or something. And he's taught me to do the same thing, and it's really helped me tremendously to watch and to observe being in the Word and what that does for you. It gives you so much knowledge of Christ. Not that he's arrived or not that I have arrived either. Neither one of us have. We're both still seeking the truth from God. There's so much in there. There's layer after layer after layer of God's truth in the Word of God. And there's so much there. One thing one day might minister to you one way, and the same verse might minister to you in another way another day. God's revelation is so awesome. Like Famika was talking about, the glory of God will be all over you if you just believe what the Word of God says. And you'll have that peace in your heart that we all long for, to believe that, you know, all these things that we've prayed for, God's going to fulfill them for us. All right, anybody like to have anything else they'd like to add to us, or have any comments they'd like to make, or any prayer requests as far as that goes? Hey, Cheryl. God bless you, girl. Hadn't seen you in a while.
No. The Lord's been working, trying to
awesome.
Work some things out. I've been struggling with a evil heart of unbelief because the sin that I still see in myself, and he's brought me to a lot of understanding about his grace, because I've lived under the law, and the Lord has brought down a lot of strongholds and brought truth and brought a lot of freedom. But I'm still holding fast, and I'm still going to go forward. I'm not going to give up. And I'm going to cast down the lies that Satan has been putting in my heart. And I just want to pray the Lord that my brother that has a defibrillator in his chest, that the battery has quit working, And he's not, at one time he said, he trusted so much in the doctors and everything. And, I just tried to tell him, that God is the one that keeps us alive. You know, it's not the doctors, it's his will. And he's put his trust in the Lord that he's not going to go and have it fixed or taken out or anything, that he's trusting in the Lord that his life is in his hands. So he's cast down all the fear. So I just want to praise the Lord for working that in him. And I see that he's gradually softening his heart. And I just want to pray through that. That I don't say things that are from me, but that I only speak what the Lord would have me to speak, because I know that I've spoken and said a woman is not supposed to teach a man, and I just want to rest that all my prayers that I've been praying for my family is going to come true, because he's done so much for me that I know that he's able. And that he's done some miraculous miracles in my life, and I just I want to go all the way.
Amen, Cheryl. We're going to put our faith with yours, girl. We believe it. Lord, we thank you for strengthening Cheryl. We thank you for strengthening her faith. And we thank you, Lord, that her brother is going to be healed in the name of Jesus, because your promises are true, Lord. And if he's believing, we believing, and we just putting our faith with him and Cheryl, and we're believing that he's already healed in the name of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And we praise you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're putting strong, bold faith in Cheryl to believe all these things that she's prayed for about her family in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you're standing her up and you're giving her great endurance and faith and perseverance, Lord, to stay in this fight. And we praise you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen, Cheryl.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory be to God. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
I have a song you'd like to hear.
Hey, Sue.
Hey, would you like to hear a song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the first, I'll just read a little bit. Grace pouring forth like a fountain flowing, our hearts open wide to sing your praise, and our sound becomes sweet with your anthems ringing. Praise to the name of the Lord. Grace pouring forth like a fountain flowing, our hearts open wide to sing your praise, and our sound becomes sweet with your anthems ringing. Praise to the name of the Lord. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. We rejoice in your love most high. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. In your light you shine forever. Shine in us, O Lord, forever. We're the light to the world. Hallelujah. Let us who are afraid find refuge in Christ and redemption assured in his name. By day and by night we delight in your love, and forever your word will remain. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. We rejoice in your love most high. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. In your light you shine forever. Shine in us, O Lord, forever. We're the light to the world. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. May it be so. In Jesus' name.
Oh, that was good, Sue. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank Amen. You, Lord. Michael Montana. Could you maybe, Tim and I talked about this before, I think. Would you be willing to sing that Psalm 91 next Thursday night?
Yeah, okay.
Boy, we like that.
Yeah, I could probably put it together a little better. I was having a hard time the other night trying to sing, but I thought it out a little. I was maybe a little too spontaneous, I guess.
Okay. Well, it was good. That'd be awesome if you'd do that. Isn't that right, Tim? Amen.
Yeah,
thank you, Michael.
I like that psalm. It's one of my favorite psalms. And,
yeah.
When the Lord gave it to me in song.
Amen. That'd be one we're going to need here in a little bit.
Amen.
If not today.
Yeah, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's where we're going to have to live. You know, I was reading again today, Visions Beyond the Veil, a little bit, and the visions that the young people had that said that the days would be so intense and the darkness so great that except a person were full of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't last one day.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's going to be a people that are full and overflowing beyond measure. So,
yeah. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you what, I'm so excited about what's fixing to happen. My.
Yeah. And I just think that as long as we don't get complacent, as long as there's a desire to go all the way with God and a willingness to love the truth so much that we're willing to endure the pain of coming fully into the light where all the secrets of the heart are, they're going to be made manifest now or they're going to be made manifest later. I want to get judged now so I don't have to get judged later. That's my heart.
Amen. I want to judge myself first, and then anything left, let the Lord just filter it on out.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it up and shine a light on it and get rid of it.
Yeah, I think it's maybe in Isaiah, but it says, "He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes it will have mercy." And, you know, we don't want to cover nothing, and the play acting thing of just being making people think, you know, that's the word hypocrisy in the Greek is play acting. And for people to think, you know, just everybody want them to think I'm spiritual. I don't care if they think I'm a low life dog as long as God receives me. You
know?
It don't matter what people think in this whole thing.
I had no Michael been a difference in the world. What these people think.
What people think is so irrelevant. It's what God thinks, you know, because God don't think. He knows. He's got it all figured out. He's looking at the secrets of man's heart.
I'm looking here, Michael. You got another good phrase here that I like to fell out of my chair on it. People, man.
No, but you know, I've had the crowd is a fickle beast. You know, one day it's Hosanna, Hosanna. The next day it's crucify him. You know, that's how the crowd is. And if you're looking for people, I mean, Jesus, to some people, Jesus was the Prince of Life, and to others, he was the Prince of Devils, you know. And that was the Son of God. So how much more you? You think they're going to think you're sweet pie all the time? I tell you what, we're just going to get used to it. One brother said, we got to get so full of the Lord that we're just as immune to the praises of men as we are to the criticism. It doesn't matter anymore.
That's right.
And we've got some people that we want. I mean, when I got a brother like yourself and Tim and, what, you know, I'm getting to know David and some of the other brothers, and when I got a brother that I know will speak the truth to me, I'd rather have somebody that'll do open-heart surgery on me than somebody that'll give me a cookie and a guile kiss.
Amen. Somebody that's not cruising around their Winnebago with their Sam Club card.
I try to surround myself with brothers that'll smoke my hindquarters if I need it, you know, and it's good.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you for tonight. It's been an awesome light, Lord, for your word. Your word went forth, Lord, and I just thank you for operating in the conference call tonight. It's just been an awesome night, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for dropping in on us and paying us a visit, in Jesus' name. Well, does anybody else need any prayer before we get out of here? Thank you, Lord.
I'm praying for my husband again.
Okay.
I want him to have a revelation of true holiness, truth. I don't want him to change for me anymore. I want him to be a real Christian in his heart. I want him to see the revelation of Jesus Christ for himself. I've been needling him for so many years, and I don't want to needle him anymore. I was like, I don't, if he doesn't change, I'm like, God, I can't make him change. I just want him to really know God, come out of the religious mindset that has brought so much sorrow and constriction to the liberty of the true Spirit of God. I just want him to receive revelation. I really do.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the rest that you're giving Famika, to rest in her knowledge that you're working on her husband, and she just needs to let you alone, let you go ahead and do your work, Lord. And she, all her work is to believe. That's all she's got to do, is just keep on believing. And Lord, she's going to see a transformation in her husband, because when you do a work, it's a lasting work. When we try to interfere, it ain't, it messes up every time. But Lord, we thank you that we're going to hear a testimony from Famika here in a little short while, that hubby has come around to the freedom in Christ that you have given us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We come against those blinders that are on his eyes, when we take authority on them, and we command them to come off in the name of Jesus. We command the blinders off the spiritual ears and command them to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you have cleared him up to hear the truth of the gospel. Lord, we just ask that you place it in Famika to just be that wife, that wonderful Jesus-loving wife that would shine a light on him and he'd notice the difference in her, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless everybody, Lord, tonight with good sleep, a good night's sleep, and bless them with dreams and visions of you, Lord, and the things that are coming upon this world, that they would come and testify to the goodness of the Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody. We love you.